Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. This is sometime in October.
You should know what day it is because my birthday is coming out. What day is my birthday?
Your birthday is the 7th, but what day is that? Monday. Your birthday will be on Monday.
Right. We're already in my birth month and nothing has been done. You haven't done anything for me.
You didn't do much for me in my birth month. I can't remember. Oh, you built me a desk, but that was the month before.
And shelves.
And shelves. But that was in July.
Yeah, but...
And I chose to count it as my birthday.
You can't remember anything I did for you on your birthday?
I think you bought me some flowers, and we had a nice day. But I had to threaten you the whole time. So, anyway,
I don't think I just bought you flowers. I think I bought you something else.
Oh, no, you bought me a beautiful prayer book, but I only just
That's right.
Got it.
That's what it was. You are forgetting what
I bought
you.
But it came, like, the end of September. So... It was hard for me to remember. I'm going to buy you something when you give me money because of your horrible patriarchalness. You don't let me have any money. That's actually not true.
You spend all of our money. You're the one who spends all the money. I open the bank account and see that we've lost money, usually, without you notifying me of the expenditure. And then here I am counting on having enough money for things like food.
Well...
And you... buy yourself a haircut or something.
No, that's not true. I've foregone the haircut this month, and you can tell I'm beginning to look like one of those troll dolls where you can shake the doll and then the hair stands way up on end. But I don't want to get a haircut until I know what I want, and I don't know what I want. So
we're here watching soccer again.
Yeah.
And our fleet of foot son
is last.
He's last.
You need to
They're running laps around half the field. And our second son, who's not known for his energy.
You're...
energetic.
You're such a...
aggressive attitude towards sports.
I don't know why you're laughing.
Everyone's running. He's, like, jogging.
Well, it's early and it's cold.
Yeah.
So, that's not what we're here to talk about today.
Right. Yeah, what are we here to talk about today?
Well, there were so many things in the news, it was hard to pick.
We thought we'd just... dive in.
So, well, maybe we can list the things and then see which one.
Well, there's, let's see, the people who have had their genitals mutilated discovering that was not something they should have probably been doing.
And they're very sad.
They would like their genitals back. And they're very sad. There's an article about this, yes.
And I thought the only way to solve that problem would be to sue any doctor who does that surgery for somebody under the age of 40 should be sued until they have no more money.
What is it? Why? I mean, and this is people, these are not just people who, I mean, the article had to do with people who were in their 30s or so, 20s.
I thought it was like 20s.
Yeah.
And even teens.
Yeah. So, but there are parents who are discerning that their child isn't really a male or a female and deciding to mutilate them, pay the doctors to mutilate them,
give them hormones that can be not, they cannot be reversed.
I mean, before puberty, before the kid even knows.
Yeah. That is so, yeah, those doctors should be sued.
And those parents should be jailed. Those parents should be imprisoned. But of course, that's not going to happen because it's a good...
Because they're...
Well, and this is the brave new world.
Well, maybe, though. I think if people begin to actually talk about their regrets and on the internet, and then somebody gets together a lawsuit, there might be hope. I don't think that the suing thing is a great idea, but we might as well use what we have. And by we, I mean other people. So.
No, I mean, one day, hopefully, the abortion doctors will be jailed.
Sued.
So, I think these guys should be jailed. They should be... It's the mutilation of children. How do you justify that? But along these lines, I was just reading an article yesterday again about the I'm going to get confused because I don't know the right...
Well, if you don't know the right terminology, you're a bigot.
But if you're a trans woman, which really means you're a man, right? If you're a trans woman, which means you're a man, and other actual men don't want to have relations with you...
Yeah.
They're bigots.
Yeah. Right? So, oh, well, that's obvious.
Yeah, I mean, they're really... the mental framework, the worldview that you have to jump into in the present sexual confusion is such that the natural attraction of a man to a woman is bigoted
Yes.
to an actual woman, right? And if you
Right.
don't have it for a woman with a penis, that's how this article is phrased. Don't mean to be crude, but if you are not willing to have relations with a woman with a penis, if you're a man, then you have.
You're bigoted.
That's just how do you I don't know that you can come to a place that's more Romans 1 than this. They've exchanged the truth for a lie, given themselves. I mean, we've been given over to this.
Well, it is. It's pretty funny, though. I mean, it's pretty great, I think. Like,
I
and if
mean,
you say something about it, you're bad. That's
right.
what I like. You're morally wrong if you notice that men who are attracted to women might not be attracted to a man pretending to be a woman.
Or vice versa, it's
Yeah.
a trans man.
Yeah.
I mean, do they really think that they're just gonna? Oh, no, I'm not. They're clearly lesbian or gay people who are attracted to people of the same sex. And do they really think that just by calling themselves
Well, yeah.
a woman
Yes.
or a calling
That's exactly what they
that
think.
therefore ipso facto all reality and physical, it's really Gnostic. We've talked about this before, because the Gnosticism of the ancient world was such that your body
Didn't matter at all.
didn't. It was your true essence is within. And you have to discern that you're really a spirit person connected with the great demiurges and escape the bounds of your ridiculous body.
And of course, well, they didn't do that through gender reassignment surgery, but it's a strange, though, doubling down on the body to be
Yeah.
something other than that than it is. It both denies it too much and takes it too seriously at the same time. Is that
Right.
possible?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is Gnostic. I feel like there's a lot of Gnostic things. That's what I've been doing lately, is just calling anything Gnostic that I don't
Well,
really like.
the
That's
gospel of
a
this age is
Gnostic.
Gnosticism, isn't it? It's
Yeah.
your true self is your inner being, and you discern who you are, and then everyone else has to
Agree with that.
agree with that. So, I mean, that's what brings true joy. You find salvation, quote unquote, in our present day by discovering yourself and then living in light of who you are.
Yes.
And then of course, if anyone tries to shatter that image by saying, well, really you have a penis, you're a man, then that's crushing, because you've built your whole happiness on your you
Yeah.
to be happy, you must live out who you are, and everyone else must accept it. So now when people don't,
Well, there's
you
nothing
can't
left for
abide it,
you. Yeah,
right?
you can't. There's no way to go forward
Right.
into your ordinary life. But I don't think it's, I don't think most people, I mean, I think that it's, the problem is that it's a sort of a loud minority who's living as if that's the way that we all have to live. I think most people get up in the morning and just carry on with their lives and,
Right.
don't think, well, I'm really a man, even though I look like a woman. But the fear that rises up if you're going to be ostracized for thinking that men who are really men should be allowed to call themselves women means that people who are self-deluded and mentally ill are allowed to change the
Yeah.
culture.
Yeah, right.
I mean, like, nobody in our church, nobody in our church is like, you know what? I'm a man trapped inside the body of a woman.
Right. No one does
Like, no one
that.
is on Twitter. No one is on social media. Well, some people are on social
Yeah.
media. But, you know, we're not in a sort of an elite, savvy church where this kind of thing is interesting at all.
Right.
But it filters down in like sort of sicko ways to the general population, and appears in...
Well, it does in the assertion of the self as the, yeah. the key to all happiness. And that's where, I mean, yeah, that hits our parishioners.
Yeah,
hits,
all day long.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's hard to battle because it's quieter and insidious. And there's...
Yeah, I mean, how do you... I mean, what does a person who's just not thinking, but just imbibed the flow of the culture, what does that person do when Jesus says, you know, to be my disciple, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me? That doesn't compute in
right. I can't even understand what you're saying. Your what? Words coming out of your mouth.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the ocean.
It does. It does.
So I'm reading a great book all about how you're really, really wrong and bad. This is a...
Oh, yeah. Give the stat that you're reading. This is amazing.
So, well, I don't have the actual stat, but there's a study, and I've heard it in two places now, mm-hmm. that if you're... And I don't know where it is, so I can't even link it. But if you are presented with evidence, incontrovertible evidence that you're wrong... So supposing you think that the pavement outside your house is smooth and great, but then somebody comes and says and shows you all of the problems with your pavement, and it's proven, like it's scientific, it's obvious, it's clear, it's easy to understand. You will not have your mind changed. You will double down on your assertion that the pavement is smooth.
Now, of course, it's like, what is it, 2% of the, or 10% of people have their mind changed by evidence.
But, and the smarter you are,
the
and
less
the more
likely.
Educated you are, the less likely you are to change your mind based on factual evidence. That has been proven.
I mean, this just explains so much. I mean, you know, where I keep on Sunday mornings in my sermons, we're going through John, where this is like evident. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the people who are opposing Jesus. Jesus raises people from the dead. He gives them, you know, the sight to the blind. He argues from the scriptures that he is the Christ and or that he is this God's son, and they just double down on. I know, and I say this, and I say, in the sermons I say this is human nature. We our hearts are bent against God, and then we use our minds to construct justifications for our rejection of God. And the smarter we are, the better
we are doing
the
that.
Better we are at doing that. And this theory just goes right. And people look at me and I say that and say no,
that's not true.
Even if someone were
raised from the dead,
this doesn't make sense. I mean, if I were there and I were these Pharisees, I would of course believe Jesus. And maybe because of the Holy Spirit,
maybe you
battering
would.
Down.
But on your
the
own,
recalcitrant mind. But on your own, no, I don't think you wouldn't. I wouldn't either. We would be just as bent on rejecting Jesus as these guys were.
What's so great about it, though, is that it explains everything about everything. Like, this is the grand unifying theory that we've all been looking for about all of social media, American culture, and the gospel. So, and I would say, actually, we probably saw it play out on Twitter this week in more ways than one, because... So whatever your paradigm is that you like best, whatever your worldview is that you like best, if somebody shows you
evidence
that it's not, it or that it doesn't explain everything, or that in this case it might be questionable.
You dig in.
You dig in. No question, you dig in.
That is... The mind of the flesh is at enmity with God, and you. I mean, how many arguments have we had with? Not arguments. I can remember a number of discussions I've had with people who don't believe that God exists, or people who just outright think the Bible is full of contradictions and myths, and no matter how many times you show, oh no, that's not really a contradiction, you just misread it here, or oh no, this is possible, if God exists, it's possible for miracles to take place, it doesn't matter, it does not matter. You get them to the end of the argument, and even if you've reasoned them to it, it's no. And I'm sure, I mean, that doesn't apply to us, of course, but
I was just thinking that I'm really glad that my worldview is coherent and right. That there aren't any cracks in it.
Yeah.
Personally. Yeah. And that I'm able to judge the behavior of other people and their opinions rightly.
Well, we've taken the log out of our eyes, so we see.
Yeah.
And people don't. And then, if they just realize that they...
No, there is no log in my eye.
Right.
It's just...
Exactly.
Not even a speck, really.
I mean, really, epistemologically, basically, that means is no one can know anything.
Right. Well, that's part of the problem is that, like, when you think about this, it has caused me to question everything for myself this week. Like, oh man, it's made me very happy that I'm not really a person who engages on Twitter, because I know that all of my opinions are not shared by most of the people in the world, and I don't want to constantly be told that I'm wrong by other people who I also think are wrong. So it's not where that's where it's fun for you. I think we should both say something where we had our mind changed about something based on evidence.
Well,
to show that this doesn't apply to us. Like, what's something that you thought, and then somebody showed you evidence,
yeah,
and then you were like, oh, okay, I was wrong.
Well, I used to be an amillennialist, and I became a historic premillennialist.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah, but that was argued into that position.
By somebody else.
But
who showed you in the text.
Right. And let's see, what else? I mean, I can think of times when I've been wrong about in my behavior, like I've done wrong things, and
yeah,
people have said that was wrong.
Yeah.
And it usually is, though. It's not usually when someone tells me I'm wrong that I say I'm wrong. It's usually after, and when I pray about it.
Yeah.
and because there is something about that where you go to God, and I can remember prayers like, well, this person said I was wrong about this, so. And then just in thinking about that or saying that in the light of prayer.
You're like, oh,
man,
really,
that
really
person. Yeah.
That's horrible.
Yeah. So I can think of lots of times like that. But usually it is in prayer that takes place, or reading the Bible that takes place. It's.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something where I've actually changed my mind about some... I would say, like, okay, I had some sort of wrong impressions. Like, I didn't really think that Jesus was fully man. Like, so for a long time, most of my childhood, I was pretty sure that Jesus resisted temptation in his divine nature, not as a human. Well, I mean, I don't know that you're supposed to really carefully distinguish between those two things. Like,
yeah, well,
no, you are.
You
can't. But you can't know exactly how it is that Jesus is both fully God and fully man.
Right.
Right? You can't... You're not supposed to say too much.
Right.
One way or the other. But I was pretty sure that he got a special pass because he was God. And so it didn't really matter. Like, I could try to resist temptation, but it wasn't going to really help me because not being God, I wasn't going to...
How are you
really
going
to
do it? Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so somebody... showed me
I think we did that when we went through
Maybe
Mark.
It was you.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. Okay, and then the other one was that I was pretty sure that when it says make no provision for the flesh, that meant like you should never be comfortable.
Buy your hair shirt and your...
Yeah. And so...
Eat your grasshoppers.
Right. And that was really helpful to me to see that that's actually not true at all.
It just meant like... Don't save money to buy drugs.
Yeah. Don't plan ahead to sin.
Right.
Which is not the same as planning ahead to drink a pot of tea.
Right.
And eat some toast. those two things are not the same at all. Unless you have a problem eating toast, then like you shouldn't plan. If you're addicted to toast, then you shouldn't plan ahead to eat the toast. Or you shouldn't sprinkle cocaine on it. And be like, this is just toast.
Yeah. You wouldn't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing.
Right.
Oh, there seems to be cocaine on this toast.
So, those are two things. And there are a lot of... But see, the thing is, those are a lot of little things where you find your view of Jesus corrected by the scriptures themselves, mm-hmm. by going through them systematically. I don't know if there's been anything really huge and radical that I've been wrong about that I needed to correct.
I can think of lots of things, though, that when I've studied them, my original impressions have been confirmed.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just the ESS controversy, the eternal subordination of the Son, which is everyone's fighting about in the Reformed world. I went into it thinking, the argument is that if the Son eternally submits to the Father, then that makes him somehow ontologically inferior to the Father. That means he's less God or something. And I thought, that's not right. And you know what? Sure enough, studying it, it's not right. So it's not true that the Son, if he's subordinate,
why are people calling it a heresy?
Because they are arguing that it necessarily implies that the Son is not co-equal to the Father in his being, in their essence. So like,
if he's forever
one God, one nature,
could never be a permanent hierarchy within the Trinity.
Well,
an eternal hierarchy.
That's what they're arguing.
There can't be.
That's what they're arguing, and what I think they're doing is confusing role with essence. Or relationship with essence. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit relate to one another as persons. And within that relationship, one can submit to the other, but that doesn't necessarily imply forever. It could be an eternal submission, but it doesn't necessarily imply
my question is, how can it not be forever if God doesn't change?
How can it? Why? Well, the opponents of ESS argue that it's only with regard to the work of redemption that the Son submits himself to the Father, right? And so it's not an eternal mark of their relationship. It's just in the role of.
So here's my problem with saying that the Son wouldn't be an order in the Godhead that was forever, because that would make obedience, even earthly obedience, bad.
It would make it a mark of less. Obeying your sergeant in the army would be also saying he's more human than I am.
Yeah.
And that's not at all.
Whereas I would say that obedience to another person is always not always, if it's evil. If a person is asking you to do something evil and you obey, that's evil. But if you obey somebody else, and it's good. Mm-hmm. It's the right kind of obedience, and you're being asked to do something right and true, and then you do that right and true thing. That is for glory. That's not ugly and bad.
Right.
That's good and glorious. And the way that you can know that is that Christ is glorified when he goes back to heaven. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
The Father glorified the Son.
His obedience is a very good thing,
right.
One might say.
Right. But, you know, that
But
the reason there's a lot of heat around it, you know, is because of the egalitarian-complementarian debate. And so the egalitarians have a lot at stake in denying, rejecting this as heresy. Because they see that a lot of the complementarians ground their argument for equality of being in a marriage, like you're not less human than I am, with submission headship. They ground that in the Trinity. Now, I don't know that they should.
I don't think that you need to do that at all.
Yeah, no, but I don't either. But because the texts are clear themselves.
You're not supposed to look to the Trinity for your picture of marriage. You're supposed to look to the cross.
Well, okay, now in some sense. Like the creating of male, male and female in Genesis 1, you know, you have one essence, and then from that there are two persons differentiated. Yeah. Now, of course, you cannot press that and that illustration too far at all, because it goes to weird places. But there is a pattern there,
right?
So, of one, and they're both made in the image of God. They're both human, and they're both, so they're one in their essence in terms of two in their person.
But it's not a great, like, you wouldn't look at that necessarily to know how you should be as a person related to other people, except that you're always giving, well, you should always be giving of yourself to the others.
You do look at the Trinity to see that.
It's not a how-to.
No, it's not a how-to.
Right, it's not going to show you what you, I mean, other than constantly giving of yourself completely and fully for the sake of others. It's not a sort of full, whereas if you look at the cross, you get a much sort of more clear picture of what kinds of things you could do if you were trying to live into your full humanity in relationship to other people.
I mean, the better
you can die.
Right.
There you are.
The better image is the Christ in his church, the husband and the wife in Genesis 2 is the better model for how humans, the core human relationships operate. She's taken out of the man, she's his body and his bride, and you relate to one another in those self-giving terms, right? So,
and the point of it is for the glory and the good of the other person.
Right.
So, Eve isn't taken out of Adam so that she can sit in a little hut and, eat garbage like the trolls on the edge of...
Right.
No. That's not... But that's the picture. That's what...
Well, that's what egalitarians want you to see in any hierarchy whatsoever.
That you're a troll.
Oppression and repression.
And you're eating garbage.
Yeah.
And if you do what somebody else wants you to do, you're giving over some essential part of who you are that you can never get back. And it has nothing to do with beauty or goodness or strength or...
Right.
It's a...
Now, granted, complementarians can be weird, too.
Oh, so weird.
Very, very.
So weird.
Yeah,
and
so.
I think the role distinction is so overemphasized against just basic humanity that you can't be known unless you're sort of the perfect... It's like the trans movement.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be so fixed in your gendered expression
that you lose yourself in some ways. You lose who you, you know, that it sounds very, very liberal, but you lose who you are because you're trying to fill this kind of
role.
I've got to be the masculine
man,
and she's got to be the feminine, and you define those things often just culturally rather
externally,
than biblically. Yeah, yeah.
So I would say that women, if you're a woman, then you are a woman, and you can just be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wake up in the morning and move through your day without having to think about it too much.
Right.
Like, am I properly reflecting my role as a female person in this? Like,
am I submitting to my husband the right way?
And
that shouldn't be a preoccupying thought of the husband either. Is my wife submitting this?
I think she's not submitting.
What should I do to make her submit?
Am I masculine enough?
How can
today?
I make her submit? Because
I'm gonna
the Bible doesn't
tie
say
your shirt.
Right. Because the Bible doesn't say husbands, make sure your wife submits.
Well, that's what they say, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they take that, make the wives submitting, like, it's the father's job to make sure that all the women submit. His daughters, his wife, everyone, submission is the main.
No, there's no biblical text that says that. Everything is said, it's the woman's job to see that she's doing that, and the man's job to see that he's sacrificing himself for her.
And I think that most women best submit by constantly telling their husbands that they're wrong. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it does seem to be your pattern of submission.
I mean, if I don't tell you that you're wrong, who else will? And show you incontrovertible evidence based in fact to show you how wrong and exactly it is that you are.
Yeah, but there are actual couples who couldn't have this conversation. Because they're so bound to that role. That would be, well, the way you treat me is so disrespectful, they would think. And the way we talk to each other would be, a wife should never contradict her husband, and a wife should never, raise up her head and say, that's wrong. He's the Jesus, and she's the church.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, right.
Well, I know. I mean, we've worked with people who
had
that idea.
We have,
And it's really awful because the man ended up doing so many stupid things. Like, so many stupid things.
Because he doesn't listen to his wife.
Well, and she doesn't bother to say anything.
Right.
I mean, you can't just blame the man. If a woman never bothers to say, what the thing that you are about to do is so stupid and wrong, that if you do it, I just want you to know that you will die, and I will not grieve and mourn your death, because you would have deserved...
And you brought it on yourself.
You brought it on yourself. And so, good luck to you, man.
Right.
I mean, well, because that's basically, you should... It's interesting because on the right and the left, the trans insanity and the patriarchal insanity does produce people who do not know how to be human, who do not know how to act like people at all, and which, I don't know, I've been blogging about this for like 50 years.
Yeah.
I'm not even that old. You should be a person. A human person, and stop worrying all the time about what you look like or how you're behaving or who you are and if you're happy and if you're being properly holy. Like, the more that you think about your own holiness, the less holy you're going to be. The more you think about your own happiness, the less happy you're going to be, you know?
That's true. I mean,
like, either way,
you're thinking about yourself way too much, and you're not. And,
either
and,
way,
and there's no hope there.
You're so wrong.
There's no dark. There's nothing but darkness there. So don't dwell on your inner soul.
Like,
too
that's
long.
You just only making provision for the flesh.
Right. Well, okay. So, anyway, that ESS controversy. There is some.
Okay. So
Not Mark Levy, Burke.
Denny Burke
commented on my Facebook page yesterday, and he made a really good comment. He said, well, okay, well, part of the problem with the ESS is that people beginning to view the eternal submission of the Son as more prominent in their relationship than his eternal begottenness. And that's really the basis for any kind of the relationship between the Father and the Son, is the fact that the Son is eternally begotten. And so if you replace that image with submission, you overemphasize something that the scriptures...
Right.
Beyond, you kind of flatten out what the scriptures say about...
Which is what you do when you go to Ephesians 5, and the only thing that you notice is that the wife is supposed to submit to the husband.
Yeah.
That's the same thing. When you read the scripture, and the only word that you can even see is submission and obedience, then
you just miss the whole swath of the text, like, which is talking about how you better love your wife like Jesus loved the church.
Yeah. And it's for both of you to be good and happy and not, like, weird.
Yeah.
Okay, if ESS is about looking into the Godhead and making them weird, that God the Father and God the Son have this tortured... sicko relationship with each other, the way that men and women on earth have tortured sick relationships with each other, then yes, it's heretical.
It's
this is my problem with complementarianism in
general. Well, if you read back into your understanding of the divine relationship, your weird
your weirdness,
your wife's wearing the denim skirt and the head covering and
then you're reading it wrong.
Right.
Okay, but that's the problem with complementarianism in general, is that you can say a lot of the words and think, okay, a lot of those words are true, you're quoting scripture or whatever, but the thing that it produces is aesthetically so wrong. It's ugly. You end up with male and female relationships that are tortured and unlovely and are not reflective of the beauty and glory of Christ and the church, that you are doing it wrong. You're doing something fundamentally wrong, and you should question yourself, although we know that you won't. Even when shown,
you won't.
You will just double down. You will double down in your weirdness.
Right.
And God himself could come and say, that's bad. Stop it. And you would say, no, I'm following the Bible. So,
I mean, you know, we all know couple, and it's not just in complementarian circles. I mean, egalitarian circles too. Where you say, "Man, I'm glad I'm not married to that person," and you should be able to say, "Okay, well, I can see that being a good marriage. That looks like a really healthy, good marriage." You wouldn't want to say I want to be married to that person either, but...
Right. So the egalitarian, what's her name? She was going to start a church. She's like, my husband submits to me because it works better for us. And right. Remember that? And I thought, lady, you saying that is the ugliest and
right.
most humiliating thing that you could say to a man.
Right.
Now, every
other man reading that thought, oh man.
Oh.
Yeah, that man's sorry. Really, he's been.
If your wife gets on Twitter and is like, my husband submits to me.
Where?
Ouch.
At what point did you emasculate
him? I'm starting
him?
My own church and it's awesome. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's so awkward.
Yeah.
It's socially awkward.
It's weird. It's
theologically awkward. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well.
What should we talk about? Now, we have the eating of babies.
Oh, yeah, we should mention the eating of babies. If your theology is not working out for you, it's probably because you're not eating babies.
Right. But that, now, it turned out, so when AOC, what's her name?
Alexandria.
I don't pay attention to politics, but I watched this video. Yeah, she had a little town hall meeting, and some woman got up and said, "Why aren't we eating our babies?"
The world is ending in less than 2 months.
We have an overpopulation problem, and we have food shortage. What? There's a clear solution here.
Why aren't you?
And that is the eating of the babies.
Why aren't you even talking about this?
Yes, there's a great silence about the eating of the babies going on. So,
I love
it.
This.
Was a hoax, clearly. I think it was clearly a hoax.
I saw that there's some kind of organization in Europe started by some man who does think that, and does produce shirts saying we need to eat the babies. Like, the shirt that she was wearing is a real shirt from some real organization. But I don't know if it's a left-wing one or a right-wing one.
How could it be a right-wing organization?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know.
I guess Nazi. Well, Nazis aren't even right-wing. They're left-wing.
Yeah, they're so left-wing. So, I don't know how that came about. But what I liked best is... Well, because everybody was saying AOC... She didn't immediately say, no, we're not going to eat the babies.
Now here, I mean, I'm...
And I was going to say, of course she didn't say that, because when you have somebody who's clearly crazy. Unhinged, you don't contradict them right off.
You back away slowly.
Yeah, you say, that's a very interesting suggestion. I do this in church every Sunday. That's so interesting. I really appreciate that you've taken the time to think about that.
Yeah.
I think that maybe we could talk about this not on Sunday morning. And certainly we'll pray about it. And thank you so much for bringing it to my attention. You know why? Because when you contradict somebody and show them incontrovertible evidence,
they're not
going to
believe you.
They don't believe you, so you might as well not bother.
Yeah, I mean, people are saying that Trump put her up to this, or Trump put this woman up to that, to just gauge
how Andrea, whether we can eat the babies or not.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, just to see how she'd react. I mean, what if she had said, oh, that's an interesting idea.
Well, she did. She said, I think we have so many options before we get to that one. That's what she said.
Did she say that, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's out there. It's an option.
It is.
Yeah, if push came to shove and we had no more to eat, then, well...
We would eat the babies.
It would be the babies.
What I like, and I didn't say this online because I felt like it would be so cruel, but you know that you can order baby parts on the internet.
Yeah.
And that Delight and Guy is being tried for uncovering the fact that you can buy baby parts. Not to eat, but to experiment on and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. I feel like...
Clearly Joseph Mengele kind of stuff.
Well, if you're going to do scientific experiments, then can you eat them afterwards? Like,
I mean, really, we live in a country now where you can actually kill born babies. I mean, it's not just murdering them in the womb. You murder them out of the womb, and it's... And so, yeah, I mean, I guess it's not that crazy of an idea if we're already slaughtering innocent children. Hey, why not
have... We should have them for dinner.
That's just... we are living in the Roman... We are the quintessential picture of Romans 1. This is why... Okay, I'm going to say something that people won't like, but... this is why I never got upset with... What's his name? The football player who wouldn't...
Copernic.
Who wouldn't stand for the national anthem? I mean, I don't like the reasons that he wouldn't do it, but because I don't agree with him about those reasons, but still, I my sense of this country being noble and good and honorable and the greatest country on earth. No, it's not.
So we said the pledge to our kids because they didn't even know what it was.
Yeah.
You and I put our hands over our hearts at lunch one day and recited the pledge, which we both know from our youth.
Yeah.
And they looked at us in astonishment. Like, they hadn't really heard it before. And they were like, what?
You had to say it every day.
What? One nation under God?
Like, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Yeah.
I mean, that's so funny.
Because what was
and when... I tried to defend it. I was like, "What, guys? Don't be so anti-American." But I didn't really. I couldn't.
Well, see, now they're not. It. They're just that way because of abortion and gay marriage and stuff. But which is, I mean, I'm not anti-American. I love America. But I think America is not. The claim that we're the greatest and best hope for the world anymore we're murdering our babies on a massive scale, and we blaspheme marriage, and we're just about to make we've made the differences between the sexes go away, and I mean, who knows what's next? I mean, we're eating our babies or whatever. That's next. So unless we repent, we are not the greatest country on Earth. I can think of lots of countries that are actually more righteous than we are in the way they organize themselves. Namely Russia, who doesn't murder their babies and who doesn't have gay marriage.
Well, unless we bomb all of Russia, which that was the other option. Even if this woman said, even if we bomb Russia, we'll still have too many people. I'm like, well,
she brought that up.
We should have had.
She said that.
We should. You should have said China because they have lots more people than Russia.
She wanted to have a war to
a
kill
nuclear. So lots of people. If we bomb Russia, she said, it won't be enough. We have to eat the babies.
So I mean, there's levels of insanity that are clearly here because of the way our culture has gone. But the climate change insanity, I think it's one of those that takes you beyond
ordinary.
Yeah, I mean, how long have climate change people been saying, yep, next year the water's going to rise to the point that, you know, it's going to flood New York City, and they've been saying that for years. Overpopulation is going to lead us to the point we don't have any food anymore. We were supposed to all be starving in the, you know, 1982. We were supposed to all be underwater in 2015. Remember,
yeah.
I mean, it's clearly fear-mongering. It's clearly based on faulty science. It's clearly not.
No, because... No. Like, and you're wrong. Even if somebody shows you that you're wrong with science, because science, you're wrong. You're still going to be... It's just because of the, you know, whatever that is, the study. Like, yeah. I wish I knew the name of it, because then I could refer to it more easily.
And, you know, it's...
So
Gaia worship is...
Yeah. I'm sure that we should be winding this down, but I did have a practical way that you can know if you're wrong with incontrovertible evidence, or one way that you can objectively discern for yourself if the opinions that you have are wrong. And this is why Christians are better than every other kind of person, is because they have this. And whereas ordinary other kinds of people don't have this, and so they're doomed to always be wrong and never be corrected. And that's that, first of all, the scriptures are a place of objectivity where you can go and test your opinions and see if they're okay, and then discover that they're not. Even though, of course, you're going to read it wrong because of your own biases.
Well, no, I mean, I think that the genuine Christian is able to change his mind when he sees that his mind is contrary to Scripture.
But that's because of the Holy Spirit, as you mentioned in the beginning. Right. And it's because it's a supernatural act of God to change your mind.
Yeah.
And so that's why Christians are better than every other kind of person in the world. And I just wanted to end that way.
Yeah. Next week, maybe we'll talk about how forgiveness is not woke. How you can't, you know, the beautiful, beautiful video of the guy whose brother was murdered, forgiving the murderer, or the not murder, it was, I guess, manslaughter, but forgiving the female police officer who's white. That was a quintessential picture of the gospel. And guess what? Quote unquote Christian wokesters are upset about it. We've weaponized forgiveness so that we don't have to change the systemic racism in the world. If you are too woke for that, if you're too woke for forgiveness and too woke for the gospel, then you have, that's your, then you don't have the gospel anymore. You don't have Jesus anymore. You have made the gospel injustice.
You're gonna get in trouble on the internet.
I really don't care. It's beyond. I mean, Jamar Tisby. Who else was it? Was doing this?
It was mainly him.
Yeah, Jamar Tisby.
I mean, there was some.
That guy's left. He's left the church. He's no longer part of the church because he's anathematized forgiveness of sins. That's.
Yeah, I mean, I did absolutely disagree with why the video went viral, and I think the reason that the video went viral is because people knew the enormity of the offense.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that the Dallas Police Department apparently mishandled mm-hmm. a lot of this stuff, and so the trial itself was unfair. She didn't. It wasn't a good trial, and so there continues to be, you know, injustice going on in the whole system, and it's because of that. And people know when you've lost your son unjustly for no good reason from somebody who shouldn't have even been there.
Right.
To offer forgiveness in a situation like that is insane.
Right.
And that's why it went viral. Not right. because white people need forgiveness, but because they were so shocked.
It's a threat to the heart of wokeness, because in the social justice milieu, you cannot, if you're white, there's nothing for you. You are guilty, and there's no way out of that guilt. You have to become woke yourself, and even then, you're never free of what other people before you have done, and you're always. You always have privilege, and so there's no way out of it. There's just no way to be forgiven. And so when a black man forgives this white woman, it undoes and unravels the whole thing. That's why they're upset. Because the whole ideology stands on this idea that there are some who are righteous because of their victimology, and they've been victimized in the past, and there are some who are always going to be... those subject to being torn down because of their color and the sins of those who had that color in the past. And it's very Marxist. It's like the bourgeois. You are guilty because you are bourgeois. You there's nothing you can do. You're a class enemy. And even if you give up all your money and serve the state, you are bourgeois, and you can be shot. So
yeah. Well, we probably need to do a longer podcast on
that.
Yeah,
we do.
Because you obviously have a lot of pent-up emotion about this.
I do.
And even though you go on Twitter every day, your mind has never changed. Just shows what a bad person you are. Well.
We should close here.
Yeah, so we'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening.